The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack $3.97 per pound. Limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that's right. We welcome you back with Shreya Slaughter, our KU insider, joining us here on the program. Shreya, we appreciate it as KU gets into, we'll call it, we'll be hyperbolic, biggest game of the year on the road at number 2 Iowa State. They've played a lot of big ones this year. They're 6-point dogs, though, on the road. That doesn't happen a lot to KU, but I think we all agree with it. We all understand why it is. Iowa State's really good. How pumped up are you for this one tonight?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it'll be a really big test, I think, for KU in the sense that, they've had 2 straight road victories against some teams that are good, but not great. You know, I think Cincinnati is a great defense, but they were flawed offensively. And we saw that firsthand on Sunday, mostly to Kansas's defense, but Cincinnati just could not put the ball in the bucket. And UCF obviously was not that great of a team, but Kansas dominated that game. Hilton Coliseum is tough to play at. It's probably the toughest environment on the road, I think, for Kansas outside of playing at home for opposing teams at Allen Fieldhouse. I'm really curious to see kind of how it goes because Kansas has looked really, really good defensively, been very impressed since Shaquille Moore has been in the lineup. They haven't quite found their offensive footing yet, so I'm curious to see if they can turn it around against a team that's elite on both ends.
What a bizarre game over the weekend against Cincinnati, Shreyas. The first time in the Bill Self era in over 20 years that one of his KU teams scored under 55 points and won a game. And I know that, you know, from an offensive point of view, it was ugly for both teams. But again, it just strengthens this narrative that defense has got to be the identity of this team. And I know Cincinnati couldn't shoot. But also, they were stopped and suffocated at a lot of steps, a lot of stretches there in the second half.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think Hunter Dickinson said it best. A Bill Self-led team should be a defensive team. And I think, you know, the idea that defense travels is correct. I know it's a little bit of an exaggerated effect. But the idea is, you know, if you're putting effort on defense, a lot of times, even if the offense is not good, you can turn it around with, you know, turnovers created and, you know, fast break opportunities and all that. I think KU's offense is going to be up and down throughout the season. I'm not sure if you can quite rely on it game in, game out, but the defense should be something it takes pride in. I mentioned this on Saturday. I've been on the KU beat for now for 3 years on the basketball beat. I think this is the best defense they've had out of the 3 seasons that I've covered them, bar none. They look really, really good. They look locked in. They look focused. I think Shaquille Moore has made them even more dangerous defensively. And it gives them another point guard alongside DeJuan Harris to kind of take care of the ball. I think I was really impressed with, you know, that grinded out victory. It was not a fun game to watch. I think I mentioned it on Twitter. I was like, I really hope there's no kid watching basketball for the first time. And this is the first game they ever watched because it was tough.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tough. Okay, so we all know and we all agree. KU's defense will, you know, if we had to draw up a game plan, it'll be a defensive-led performance that leads them to a win over Iowa State. I think we all know that, understand that, believe that. My question in it, though, Shreyas, is what happens if it's not a dominant defensive performance? I kind of look at this, another play on this is what if they can't just shut them down? Are they capable in an individual game like this of getting into a track meet if they need to? I think the only real time we've seen that against a quality opponent is North Carolina, maybe. But there is a part of me that's curious on whether or not, I know we don't want to play that way, but can they play that way if they have to play that way?
So I think it's going to be interesting because Iowa State is a top 10 defense in the nation through just a defense efficiency. Like Kansas is. One of the curious things about Iowa State, though, is they don't shoot a lot of threes. It's kind of like Kansas is in that realm. They don't make a ton of threes. I mean, I think they're like 81 in the country in percentage, which is okay. It's not horrible. It's not amazing. It's kind of bang on average. Kansas is kind of in that same realm. So I'm curious if this is the game where they kind of shoot the lid off the basket and if they can't play defense. And there's I think they could keep up with Iowa State just because Iowa State is a team that doesn't take a lot of threes. If you sit there and told me Iowa State is in like top 100 in 3-point percentage and top 100 in 3-point rate, then I would say I don't think they could keep up with Iowa State. But because Iowa State's not a team built around 3-point shooting, I think, you know, in a shootout or in a high scoring game, I think Kansas can keep up. I think it just depends on the opponent and their ability to shoot threes and not shoot threes, because Kansas has been too inconsistent on that realm for me to definitively say game in, game out, that they can trust their offense.
Shreyas, if we are talking about all of the newcomers, the acquisitions this year on this roster, at this point, I don't know if many people or anybody for that matter would say that the two most impactful players are Shaquille Moore and Zeke Mayo. Everybody had looked at Rylan Griffin and looked at AJ Store, like their accolades and the teams they played for before and the NIL money and like all of that. But Shaquille Moore defensively and Zeke Mayo offensively have been the difference makers as far as the newcomers are concerned.
Yeah, I think they've been by far the best transfers. I think Rylan continues to get a little better, which is good. I think that's big. AJ Store, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to be honest. It seems like there's, Bill, the way he talks about him is like, and this is, I'll put this in the nice way possible. He talks about him like he's a walk-on sometimes, I feel like. He talked about, he's done some good things defensively. AJ Store averaged 16 points per game for Wisconsin last year. What are we doing here? Come on now. Okay, if this is where we're at, where he's done some good things defensively and he's the eighth, ninth man in the rotation, no matter what you say right now, it has been an abject failure, his tenure at Kansas at this point. Maybe he could turn around. Maybe he couldn't. I have no idea. But what we thought AJ Store was going to bring to this team, he has clearly not brought. And Zeke Mayo was, I would arguably say, the best offensive player on this team.
Sure.
You know?
But it's, isn't that okay? Like, isn't it okay that Zeke Mayo is bringing more than you thought he would, and AJ Store's not bringing as much, as long as the sum of all parts gets you to where you needed to be? And I think Zeke Mayo's absolutely done that. What difference does it make if it was AJ Store in the lineup helping lead the way offensively when it's not Dickinson or it's Zeke Mayo? I don't care as much because, okay, he didn't work out, but somebody else is contributing far more than you thought he would. So it sort of balances out there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. I think the only worry that I have is if Zeke has an off game, who's the third guy that can sit there and say, give me some buckets. I asked this question at the press conference Thursday, and I don't think – or not Thursday, I think it was Tuesday. Bill quite understood what I was asking, but something that I had noticed, and we talked so much about KJ Adams throughout this year, his scoring is down by 4 points compared to last year. His efficiency is like 51% versus 60. He was really, really good at scoring last year, being that third guy on that team. I was curious in that sense if it was a roster thing this year where he doesn't need to score more, or he's just not getting in the position to score as much as he did. I didn't really get a great definitive answer. I mean, Bill basically said his role wasn't different from last year. I was like, okay, then why is he not anywhere near as efficient as he was last year or the year before? It's not like spacing was good last year, especially when Kevin was hurt. And this is my one kind of small worry with this Kansas team is who is the de facto third scorer? Who is the guy, if Hunter Dickinson's in foul trouble or Zeke Mayo is not making buckets, that could step up and give them some scoring relief? I think there's a couple of guys that could do it, but I haven't consistently seen it from anybody. And I think last year, the year before, you'd probably say KJ Adams was the third or fourth guy. Well, KJ Adams hasn't been consistent on the scoring end. And there's going to be games where Zeke Mayo shut down or Hunter Dickinson's in foul trouble. I bet you it'll happen in the tournament at least once if they make a deep run. Somebody else has got to step up. And that's when the AJ Store thing comes in. That's when the Rylan Griffin thing comes in. That's when Diggy Hoyt comes in. All these guys, you know, are going to have some crazy games, or not crazy games, but at least games where they're scoring 15-plus points a game to kind of take them out of the trenches in that scenario.
Are you seeing enough right now in a limited amount of time on the court together where the Jayhawks should lean into more of Hunter Dickinson and Flory Badunga on the court at the same time?
Yeah, I think I'm very pro Flory Badunga playing more minutes. I think, and I've been that for a long time. I think he's the most talented freshman they've had in a very long time. He's, you know, I think he's as talented as what Grady was for them a couple of years ago. In just different ways. I think he's just a defensive monster. It seems like he's getting better on both ends, game in, game out. And honestly, I'll say this point blank, I'm excited to see him start next year. I think what they're going to have with him on the court next year is going to be a really different team than what they have with Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, and DeJuan Harris. That core three being gone and Florian, they brought in all these guys who are supposed to be, you know, one and done guys or NBA guys or whatever. I think could be really, really fun to watch, even if there's growing pains. And I think Flory should be playing 20, 25 minutes a game, honestly, depending on the matchup. I think he makes everyone's life easier, and he keeps Hunter well-rested. He keeps KJ in a better position to play the minutes he needs to play.
Not to put the cart before the horse, though, because it is the Hunter Dickinson team, and they'll go as far as he takes them. What should we expect out of him in a game like this? Are we looking at a game that features him solely? I mean, don't they need to start every game that way, right, to feed him and see where that goes?
Yeah, I think you've got to be aggressive. I wrote about it in my scouting preview. They have to basically come out there in the sense and build a lead. You need to basically get a big enough lead that you have to change the shot diet of Iowa State and force them to take more three-pointers, because that's the way you win the game, right? And then if the game is relying on Kansas's defense versus Iowa State's offense, I would take Kansas's defense most times in that bet. You know, like, you know, I think Kansas's defense is really, really good. I think Iowa State's offense is good. I don't think they're as good as maybe some other teams they've played this year. And I think it starts with Hunter Dickinson being aggressive from the get-go, establishing a presence in the paint, and enforcing the Iowa State big men to kind of defend him up front and be in front of him and either defend him well and because he's going to score a bucket, or defend him and force him, get fouled. I think he needs to do that. I think him being aggressive really opens up KB's offense. They need to play inside out, and then it'll open up three-pointers for guys like Zeke Mayo and Rylan Griffin.
It's a 6 p.m. tip on ESPN2. Hate that it's not the late game. Can we swap that in, Cincinnati, Colorado or something, and get it in the late window? I don't even know what the late window game is, but it's not going to be as good. I don't like 6 o'clock tips. But here we are. This is what we've got. We'll deal with it. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Follow Shreyas on social media at SHRE98. And of course, find all his work at the Kansas City Star. Thanks, Shreyas.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff there. Really good stuff. If you missed any of it, go back and listen on the Odyssey app, because that's a really good breakdown of what Iowa State brings, how it sort of lines up with what KU brings. Check it out. Odyssey app. You can download that. I'm fired up for it. And I'm not fired up that it's a 6 p.m. tip. Like, we have to be able to flex that stuff out. That game should not be a 6 p.m. tip tonight.
I'm just excited about it because I don't want to stay up late tonight. So I'm good with getting it out of the way and then going to bed.
I cannot get to the start of games at 6 o'clock. Yeah, I can't.
I'm excited about it though.
It's impossible. I'm fired up for it. This is to me, it's the most fun game we've had yet this college basketball season, especially for us in this part of the world. 6-point dogs tonight for KU. You touching any of that?
I'm going to stay away. I'm not convinced about their offense yet.
I don't know what to expect tonight. I said that off the top. I'm staying away too. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.